All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is December the 6th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. You know the deal. Hope it's great wherever you are at. It is a little bit overcast and a little bit cold and supposed to get a little bit windy, and I'm supposed to go paddle. I'm supposed to paddle at 11:15. What time is it? It's almost 9, so 9 to 10. A couple hours. I'm going to hit the water. Looking forward to it, sort of. Part of me is not looking forward to it because I think it's going to be kind of cold. And there's actually only four of us going out in the boat. I signed up for this shit? Jesus. But actually, I am actually really looking forward to it. I haven't been out paddling in a hot minute just due to all the cool stuff that takes place this time of year. You know, everybody's busy. Everybody's winding down, I think, from a long summer paddling. So, and I can only speak for myself. That's sort of what's been going on with me. There haven't been that many opportunities to paddle, so I'm not going to completely blame it on that. But today's my opportunity. I'm going to take it. I think Dave, my coach, he wants to get out in the boat as well, just due to the fact that only four of us are going out. I've never gone out with just four. Should be interesting. He said it's going to be a long, rough paddle, or maybe those weren't his exact words. I think it's just going to be it's going to be a rough one. And I don't even know. He didn't say that. Let me clarify what he said, because that is not what he said. He said, there's four of us to paddle, which is doable. It's never good. The wind will be up a little from the northwest, so it should be a good workout going up the river. It's going to be a good workout going up the river. That's what he said. Self wants me to make it sound like he said something worse. But the reality is, he said, it's just going to be a good workout. And honestly, that's why I signed up. I need a good workout. I haven't really been doing much physically lately, so it'll be good. I've not been dreading it. I'm actually really looking forward to it. It is nice, you know, and I got the appropriate clothing. It'll be great. I have, today's one of those days, got a few things going on. Got to get a haircut today, in fact. And my kids, my daughter's cheerleading tonight at the basketball game, which she is just so excited about. And my son Sam is going to either get to play or he's doing the score for the basketball team. It's just like, you know, it's perfect, right? This is what, I mean, I didn't, back in the days when I was drinking and struggling, I couldn't even dream of something this awesome, right? I just wanted to stop drinking and driving. But to the fact that my life, due to the fact that I actually quit drinking and I worked this program on a daily basis, I got a lot of wonderful things happening, and I have to stop and take a second and recognize it, because I don't always. You know, sometimes I can get overwhelmed with a lot of wonderful things that start to fall into the inconvenience category, and, you know, today's like one of them. You know, I'm paddling, then I've got to go get my hair cut, and my wife's like, all right, well, we can meet here, and then, well, should we take two cars, and we got to be over there, and then I got to be at the meeting if it's 7:30, and then I got, you know, and then on top of all that, I'm wondering how we're going to get my dad fed. It's all these great things, and they start to become like an inconvenience, right? You start to be overwhelmed, and I have to pump the brakes sometimes and realize this is all of the cool shit that I was always hoping for.
Seeing no one.
great song. I love finding, you know, some days I feel like just doing this podcast because the songs I find, not like I found it. I mean, how many people, millions and millions of people listen to that song, but what a great song that is, Band on the Run with Paul McCartney and the Wings. And, yeah, awesome. But, you know, that is the, you know, that's what happens, man. We get sober, we work a program, and we get better. We get sober, we work a program, and we get better. And life starts to get better. And it's just all that I have ever dreamed of. So it's just, God, today is one of the most wonderful days in the week, right? I'm off work. I'm going to paddle. I slept in. I told my wife last night, I'm sleeping in tomorrow. She goes, okay, what time will that be? I'm like, I don't know. But I'm sleeping in. I don't care. And so I slept in. I got up at 7:30. You know, I got up maybe a little bit before 7:30. I wanted to say goodbye to the kids and my wife and stuff before they headed out. And so, yeah, it's just a great day. And then I get to paddle, and then we get to have go see the kids. You know, my daughter does a lot of horseback riding. Well, she has done a lot of horseback riding. But my daughter decided she's in school, and she wants to be a cheerleader, right? And so she is doing cheer. And unfortunately, tonight was one of those nights where, and I think I shared, we got a lot of little local parades going on. And so tonight was Milton's local parade, and her horseback riding club is riding in the parade. And so last night I said, well, what about the parade? And my wife's like, she doesn't want to do the parade. She wants to do cheer. And I'm like, oh, right. Horses have always been a huge thing for my daughter. Loves the horses, and she still loves them, but she's starting to get involved with other kids, right, in that school, and to be part of, and all that cool stuff. And I'm like, let her do the cheering. I mean, it's, you know, she's so excited. So unfortunately, we got to put this horseback riding thing on the back burner for tonight, and we have to do the cheer. And, you know, Sam, he's, you know, kids, they're, you know, Sam always, he's a big fan of basketball, right? And he goes out for basketball. Last year, he didn't make the team. He made the practice team. This year, he didn't make the team. He is like an alternative alt, but he does the scoring, right? He gets to run the score. He writes down the score. And I said, Sam, I said, listen, because he was disappointed, right? And I went to the game the other day. You know, they're all just kids, right? There's no Michael Jordans on that team. Immediately, I'm like, why can't Sam be playing, right? But I have to remind myself, and I have to remind him. You know, sometimes we have to walk through the fire a little bit, right? This is humbling, right? Because in his mind, right, he is the next Michael Jordan. But in the coach's mind, he's not. And they have to figure it out. And Sam has to realize that everything doesn't just go smoothly. And sometimes we have to work and humble ourselves. And I told him, dude, just keep sticking through it, you know? You made this practice team. You're getting to do this. Coaches pay attention to that, right? Because I know for myself as a kid, I'd been like, well, if I can't be on the team, fuck it. I'm not going to play. I'm not doing anything. I'm not going to do the score, right? If I can't be the star, I quit. And he's not like that. And I really, really appreciate that. And I'm grateful that he's not like that. And I just have to keep reminding him, you know, just hang in there, man. Your day will come. Your day will come. People pay attention, right? And we walk through the fire sometimes. So tonight Sam gets to, he said, I might get to play. So he goes, probably not, right? So we get to go to the game tonight. Sam's going to be doing the scores. Teresa's going to be cheering. And it's all we could have ever hoped for, right? And we're all sober, which is amazing. But I thought, I wanted to maybe read this as Bill sees it. And I was going to, I felt like it was a little bit relative. It's 188, to survive trials. In our beliefs, any scheme of combating alcoholism, which proposes wholly to shield the sick man from temptation, is doomed to failure. If the alcoholic tries to shield himself, he may succeed for a time, but he usually winds up with a bigger explosion than ever. We have tried these methods. These attempts to do the impossible have always faded. Have always failed. Release from alcohol and not fight from it is our answer. Faith without works is dead. How appallingly true for this alcoholic For if an alcoholic fails to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he cannot survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. If he does not work, he will surely drink again. And if he drinks, he will surely die. Then faith will be dead indeed. I remember, and I've said this before, I remember, you know, when I was sober, the first time I got sober and then I drank, you know, I was married to my first wife, and it was really, it was a tough deal. And I had decided to try alcohol. I had kind of convinced her that it would be okay. And then our whole world started to unravel because of that decision. And I could not stop drinking. You know, I picked up that drink and I drank every single day again. I was drinking every single day. I would just temper the amount I would drink so that maybe she wouldn't catch on. And I could do that. I could probably do that 14 days, right? And on the 15th day, I would probably drink too much and then we would have a moment, right? And it would all revert back to being like a kid. I'm sorry. I'm having trouble. It won't happen again. It was just this one time, yada, yada, yada. And it was all a lie, right? And I remember we went to Norway with her parents or her mother, and it was sort of like, you know, we weren't going to Norway to fix me, but it was up in the air if I was even going to go, right? It was up in the air if I was even invited, because I think we had one of these episodes where I drank and everything went to hell, and it was really up in the air if I was going to even go on this trip. I did eventually go, and I remember flying on the plane and reading the big book, and it said, faith without works is dead. And for some reason, I've always held on to that. And, you know, because I didn't, at this time, you know, I was just white knuckling it, right? I was that guy. I was the guy that was just shielding myself from alcohol, right? I was going on a trip. My wife was watching me 24/7, right? I was being shielded from the temptations of alcohol, but really doing zero work. And unfortunately, man, when that happens, I really had no answer. You know, at that moment when I picked up that drink and I could not stop again, I was fucked, right? There was no shutting it off. All I could barely do was shield myself from the alcohol, right? If I had the time and the alcohol and I was away from people, I probably would drink it, right? There was just no turning it off. So shielding me from it was all I could do, but it wouldn't help, right? And I could not get that magical feeling back, you know, the one where the desire to drink goes away. I couldn't get it back. I'd let the demon back out. And unfortunately, at least for me, the demon only takes a break when terrible, terrible, terrible things happen. And complete humiliation, right? Ego devastation, complete humiliation. And I was flirting with it. But I remember reading that, faith without works is dead. And I thought, what does that even mean, right? And because I didn't really have faith, right? And I didn't really know how to do the work, but for some reason it just stuck with me. And today, you know, I shared about we went over the fifth step. Fourth and fifth step is, I think, really where we start trying to, we start working towards serenity. We start working towards this other place, right? We start to get a taste of what life is dealing with self and humility, and we start to be free of that fear, right? We start to have that, you know, that's why when we come in, you know, all of that shit, when I came into the program, like, all of that fear and anxiety went away, and it just feels so good to live in that humble place minus the fear, and that's what they call the pink cloud. But if I didn't figure out how to start maintaining the serenity, right, how do I maintain this peace, it fades out. Right? Self gets back involved. Self starts talking to us. Self starts pointing shit out. See what he's doing. See what's going on over there. This and that. And the next thing you know, drinking becomes an option again. And so for me, when I read that, faith without works is dead, the work is everything that leads me up to serenity. The work, right, is these steps. Are these steps? Is these steps? I don't know. Is that right? Is the steps? That's better. You know, and if I don't figure this out, I'm just going to drink again. You can only shield somebody so long. And, you know, that's what made me get into the start working the steps one day at a time, right? I didn't really even realize what was going on. I don't even know if I ever made a real decision to start doing this. I mean, obviously I made a decision to start doing it. I don't know if I ever realized what the outcome would be. I never realized what serenity was. I'd heard the serenity prayer, right? And, but, you know, it's a lot of work, and this is the kind, but, you know, how do I imply or how do I use these tools when it comes to, like, my son Sam? Because, you know, Sam, you know, as kids, as humans, we do like self. So when self doesn't get what he wants as a kid, you know, how do you let a kid realize, hey, you know, keep working through, man, walk through the fire. You're creating humility, man. You're creating character. How do you explain that? And I don't know if you do, right? I say the words and he goes, yep, mm-hmm,
yep,
right? But we've always sort of, I've always tried to, you know, talk about humility with my kids. You know, when Sam has anxiety, I've shared before, we have that prayer. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. It's a humility prayer. It's a prayer of humility. It's a prayer of recognizing, right? I've always tried to do that with my kids. Sam gets a little anxious, especially around school, especially when he was younger, and we would use that prayer. And then he started coming to me, hey, can we say, can we pray? And I'd be like, yeah. Will this be something he uses all his life? I have no idea, but I'm trying. Just like if I was drinking, you know, if I was an adult drinking around my kids all the time, you know, kids slide right into that role. You know, I see it all the time. I have clients, you know, their kids, they're drinkers, and then their kids are off to college, and they're not even 21. They come home, and they want to drink, right? Drinking wine, right, with their parents, because that's what their parents do. You know, I don't know if that's bad or good, but I'm sure it's not helping. And right, some people can drink fine and not have a big deal, and that's good. But I feel like if I start trying to talk about humility and surrendering and trying to you know, understand what's gotten us and what can help, I feel like that can help too. I hope. I mean, I don't know. You know, Sam still has a lot of stuff that drives me crazy, you know. It is, you know, whether it's video games and, you know, sitting around all day, whatever it is. But you know, this is that stuff that we try, you know, and when I getting sober, there are times I'm like, why do I even bother? You know, like I don't get to have fun like the rest of the people, or I don't get to go to these big parties and get invited, because that's the other thing. When you're not drinking, not many people are inviting you to stuff, right? It's pretty clear. More than likely, I'm not even interested in going, but there is a side of me that's like, how come I can't go to this this big party, right? Or this wedding, or I get invited to be with the big shots in the town. And you have to realize, or I have to realize, that it's just not important. What's important is this sober moment, right? My sober life. And yeah, I'm very grateful for that. What time is it? Yeah. I am excited about paddling today. I'm sort of nervously doing things, right? Because it's got me thinking. But yeah, it's so I guess for me, it's really the steps. The fourth and the fifth step start to expose this stuff, and we start to learn who we are. And I think if done correctly, we start to learn how much self plays a role in our lives. And you know, we can get better if we really, really want to. It takes a lot of work. Faith without work is dead. And, you know, I can have faith, but I've got to really dig in and do this work. And I do believe if I do this work, if someone does this work, they can get better on a daily basis, right? It's, you know, the other thing that's kind of been going on is, you know, I shared that, someone was staying with us for a while. They're not staying with us anymore. They went kind of back to their situation. And, you know, my wife was a little bummed out. She felt like, you know, when we went to Connecticut, we came back, the person who was staying with us had been going back and forth, and, you know, trying to figure it out. And I get it, right? It is tough, right? When you're trying to figure out a situation and it requires you to leave the current situation that you're at, but when you leave it, all the wonderful things that you love about your life are still back there, and you can't get to them, you know, your kids and your family, and you're really trying to fix something, but at the same time, you're torn because you can't let go. Who could, right? And so this person decided to go back, right? And I get it. But my wife was like, you know, I don't appreciate, you know, she was upset. And I'm like, babe, you cannot have conditions, right? Friendships are not conditional. Did you tell her that if she does leave and doesn't do these exact things that you're going to be upset? Probably not, right? I said, you got to put your feet in her position. And she was like, because, you know, my wife wouldn't have resentment about it and carried it around. And I go, babe, I go, regardless, whoever's in the right or the wrong, that was a different day. That was, we don't have to carry that today. We don't have to carry yesterday into today, right? We can leave that behind. I go, but friendships are not based on conditions. I mean, ideally, you want to be treated like fairly by a friend, right? You want to have a mutual agreement. But listen, shit happens. And, you know, for her, I've always said this, I couldn't imagine being away from my children. And that's sort of what was going on. And that was sort of what the deal was. You're going to leave. You're not seeing these kids. And she missed her kids. And so she's figuring it out. We've always wanted that. You know, we were always hoping for that. I never thought that they shouldn't be together. I just thought that she figured it out. But however that looks is whatever works for them, works for them. It doesn't matter what we think. And we can't get upset about it and have resentments about it. And so I was trying to explain to my wife this. And, you know, because she was like, oh, I'm never going to do that again or whatever. And I was like, honey, you got to just realize that, you know, sometimes things happen, right? And you can't take it personally. And but this is all, you know, program stuff. You know, these are the kind of things that would happen in my life and that I would drink over or I would use over, right? I shouldn't really say that. I can see how maybe not say drink over, but let go of the hand of God, right? Let go of that humble side. You know, I was never a person that was like, oh, I'm sober. That fucker did that to me. I'm drinking, right? I always just drank. And then when I didn't drink, I didn't drink. And then when I started drinking again, I just drank, right? There was no, and if I said I was trying not to drink, I was probably lying. It was probably, oh, I'm hanging on, like with my first wife. I'm hanging on. I'm not going to drink. And then I was drinking the whole time. I had never used certain situations to go out and drink. You know, I remember using certain situations to get in a fight so I could go out and hang out with my friends, right? Oh, I'm not putting up with the shit. I'm out of here, right? And really, the whole time, I just wanted to leave and go do stuff with my friends. And I would make up some bullshit. But if I was drinking, I was drinking. But today, you know, when stuff like this comes up, you know, I can really think it through. And I can put myself in their position. And I can say, hey, I get it, man. I couldn't imagine having to go through that. Like I told my wife, that was a different day. Today, you know, we start fresh. Hey, we're always here if you need us, right? We may not do the same thing over again, but listen, if you're ever in a pickle and you need a place, you always have a spot here. And that's just how it's always going to be, right? Because you can't, you know, I've had friends where even my buddy, my one friend, and I won't say his name, but him and I, he was my best friend. And some shit went down with him and my father. They got in an argument. He got pissed. He left. Came to the salon the next day and for some reason was still pissed. Stormed out like it was my fault. I had nothing. I was not even in the same room. And him and I haven't spoken since. And I'm like, why? You know? Like, this guy was, like, he had a lot of sobriety. He still does, I think. I mean, I think he's still sober. But just won't be my friend anymore. And I'm always like, well, why? Like, why isn't, we're sober, right? We're doing this. We should be able to say, listen, you know, this is what your father said, and I didn't appreciate it. And I'd say, listen, I've been dealing with my dad my whole life. I get it. He's a pain in the ass sometimes. He says shit. He doesn't have a filter sometimes. But that shouldn't come in between us, right? You know, he never said, listen, I'll be your friend as long as your dad never says something stupid to me. And I say, okay, I agree. And then he says something stupid, and now we're not friends? It was never mentioned. And I still think, I don't know why him and I are not friends anymore, especially when I didn't do anything. You know, those are the things to me that we should easily be able to get through and put behind us and move forward, right? That's what the program teaches us, how, you know, to move through stupid shit like that. Because like I told my wife, these are just anchors, right? Dropping these rocks, right? These are just things, and we don't have to drag them along. And the program teaches we can do things and try to avoid that. Anyway, let's see. I'm going to read the Daily Reflections. I'm going to go paddle, man. I'm jazzed. Let's see. All right. December 6th, when the chips are down. When we developed still more, we discovered the best possible source of emotional stability to be God himself. We found that dependence upon his perfect justice, forgiveness, and love was healthy, and that it would work where nothing else would. If we really depended upon God, we couldn't very well play God to our fellows, nor would we feel the urge wholly to rely on human protection and care. 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. It has been my experience that when all human resources appear to have failed, there is always one who will never desert me. Moreover, he is always there to share my joy, to steer me down the right path, and to confide in when no one else will do. While my well-being and happiness can be added to or diminished by human efforts, only God can provide the loving nourishment upon which depends for my daily spiritual health. Absolutely. Yeah, because there's a voice that says don't, right? There's both sides. And, yeah, prayer, for me at least, prayer, it all started, had to become a habit. Because sometimes I'll pray and I don't find, I get the relief that I want immediately, right? I don't get that that quick answer or the quick fix. But I have to keep reminding myself, you know, that I have to keep using prayer and meditation and a conversation with God to just keep, you know, the sunshine on it, right? Because if I don't, I tend to hold stuff in, I tend to dwell on it, and it tends to eat me up inside. And for me, you know, just praying, if it's just a simple prayer of, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough, I'm turning this over to you, is a huge deal. That's actually, and you know, that's my prayer. I don't really have any other prayers. I don't have a special prayer for certain situations, because most situations, most problems are basically me not getting what I want, whether it's to be liked, to be loved, to be recognized, to be helped. Whatever it is, it usually involves me not getting what I want, and that creates the stress and fear. And any time that I reach out and pray to God, I'm doing the exact opposite. I'm finding humility. I'm putting all that self-centered bullshit to the side and finding humility to find a conversation with God. And in turn, that tends to help me. And so, yeah. Anyway, whatever. I really just wanted to play this song. I hope everyone's having a great day. I'm going to go paddle, and then I'll be back to work tomorrow. Hope everyone has a great day, and we'll talk later. Bye. If I ever get out. Thought of giving it all away to a wretched charity.